This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
We will crisscross out of NFL, out of some baseball we were talking about, and into a conversation with Jay Will. That we like. I know you filling in for Keith today, you almost felt like you had to take his role of the guy that's the habitual line stepper, willing to say anything, throw some hot takes out there.
I just love being a habitual line stepper with Jay Will because I'd be trying to get him to come over to the dark side.
The horrified look on his face, though, when you said what you said about Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I'd be trying to get him. I'd be trying to welcome him over to the dark side, man. He'll come. He'll put a toe over there, but he won't go all in. I'm trying to get him to go full Tropic Thunder. I want him to go full Tropic Thunder with me.
JB, I'm not ready to be in that movie yet, Bart. No, I'm not ready to be in that as well.
He's not ready to be in. Listen, before we get started, I don't know why I'm just wandering on social media looking at cars, and I come across my midlife crisis car, which is the car I had in my early 20s, which is the 84 Firebird, which I think is probably older than you are. But I have to ask you, you've got to have, when you hit your midlife crisis, you've got to have that car where you're like, I'm going back in time, and that's the car I need to have when I hit my midlife crisis. Do you have one in mind? Like, you know already, once I get old, this is the car I need to have in my driveway to feel good about things.
Don't judge me. The Aston Martin DB9.
Oh, see, that says a lot about you, bro. That says a lot about you.
Look, guys, I want to be the Black James Brown.
That's what I was going
to
say.
To get the role.
I like that, though.
He's so sophisticated. Screw Idris Elba. I want Jay Weezy up in that role.
So Duke. It really is. He's so button up. So
sophisticated.
Now, if anybody I can see, I can see Jay Will doing that thing, shaking that stuff.
Will the camera in his bow tie, taking spy pics.
Oh, God.
Now we know. Now we know what album cover we have to do. We have to definitely do a James Bond thing now with Jay. But hey, all right, let's not waste any time on this because you saw it, I saw it. I know you talked about it this morning as well. And you actually have been talking about this for a while. A report from Woj and also Tim McMahon about what's happening in Houston. You and I have both been kicking this around. And it seems pretty obvious with the hires that they made to replace an older coach in Mike D'Antoni, an experienced GM in Daryl Morey, and they bring in a couple of people now that don't have nearly the experience at all. And it just screams, "Hey, we're going to do a reset here, but we're going to act like we're not." It does feel that way. And now the report's saying that both James Harden and Russell Westbrook are concerned about the direction of the franchise and if they're going to still be a contender. If you could put a number on it. And it doesn't have to be, I can't imagine both guys would go, but give me a 1 to 10, one of those guys will be gone before we start the season on December 22nd.
8.5.
Wow, that's pretty high.
I just, you know, if you're James, you're 31 years old, and how long can your championship window stay open, and how long are you going to trust that in the hands of a first-year coach? And I know that Stephen Silas is a really good coach. I've heard incredible stories about him. But still, we all know this. Like, Bart Allen, like, that first year on the job, it takes a while to get your sea legs. So you're going to trust that with a new GM and a new first-year head coach at that stage of your career in the West? And I've been saying this for a while. Like, from James Harden, I appreciate you saying that. I've given you everything I can do. We were very close multiple times. But I'm trying to get out to the East Coast. Because I see the East Coast, and it's wide open. I'm watching the Miami Heat make the World Championship game. Like, and I know if I could partner up with somebody else and not have to go through that grind of Western Conference, like, my chances are wide open.
Let me put this phrase out to you and tell me what you think. Ready? Madison Square Harden.
New York City. James Harden and Russell Westbrook.
Both of them. That would be insane.
See, but that's what I
think. I don't think we can handle that, but I'll take one of them. Everybody knows I'm not really the biggest James Harden fan, but I am a fan of guys who can ball. And right now the Knicks really don't have that. So they've got tons of cap space and a lot of willingness.
So, Jay Reese, just to be clear, right, we think that if Harden is going to go anywhere, he's going to go probably to Philadelphia, and the byproduct of that may be the fact that, you know, you look at Russell, he's going to say, well, I don't want to be here. This is a full-on rebuild, so let's go somewhere. So, are we talking three-team trade, being able to know that the Knicks can absorb, you know, guys' contracts that may have, like, a big contract? Are we talking three-team trade, maybe with Houston, Philadelphia, and the Knicks, and maybe it's multiple players, not just one going to the Knicks?
Oh, I think it'll be multiple players. I think if I'm Houston, I'm trying to get as many assets and future picks as possible, right? And also, if I'm Houston, and Allen, tell me if I'm wrong here, I'm trying to get you know, the reason why I think the Knicks make an intriguing third team trade is that they have a lot of players with expiring contracts. So if you're Houston, if you're trying to maybe potentially do a trade with, you know, Philadelphia for Ben Simmons and trying to deal Russell Westbrook to the Knicks for trades, and, you know, assets that are coming off your books, and you could surround, you got money to go into the market to get, you know, free agents in 2021, surround them with, you know, with Ben Simmons, if you're able to pull that off, like that seems like a pretty viable position in the marketplace to take.
There's no doubt in my mind, like, and I know you brought that up in the past, that I would think if you're Houston, you find yourself a younger star, and then you use the cap space and you use your rebuild to kind of reboot the team and build it around. And I do think that's your best fit when it comes to Harden. It would be something like that. He and Embiid could be a real dynamic duo in a pick and roll, right? I mean, you have to get some shooters over there, but they could be really dangerous together. And if I'm Harden, I want to get out of the West. Like, get me in the East. It's a little bit easier over here. I'd like to get out of there. All right, so if I can't get Madison Square Harden, what about the other dream, which you and I have also kicked around, which would be what an amazing Christmas Day game would be if it was Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook at the Garden to start the season, and these two guys in the same city. I mean, that's, you talk about some sizzle and some fireworks. The league could certainly welcome something like that.
This is why I think Russ to New York makes sense. Like, every time I see Russ is like Tribeca Film Festival. Russ is like Fashion Week in New York City. Where I see Russ living on Madison Ave, like in the sky. Like, I just feel him being in the city. And Alan, you and I both know this, but we're dying to have a player that wants to be here, that wants to be that guy in New York City. Who better, and what better persona to own that than Russell Westbrook and say, this is the team I want to build, and this is the dynasty I want to lead.
Man, so do they have enough, though, on the Knicks side of things to satisfy Houston? Or because the contract's so big that you'd be doing them a favor, which means they really can't expect to get a lot for a guy like Russ?
I also look at it, yeah. I haven't played every scenario out of my mind. I know we're, you know, making this up on the fly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look, they do have a lot of expiring contracts. You do have to give a lot. But at the same time, you have to start somewhere if you're the Knicks organization. Unless everybody's just patient to say we're going to do it the next four or five drafts.
And the fact that it can be a three-team trade, then you can be able to match it up better knowing that it's a third team involved. I can see Russell coming down the hallway with his nipples out, the cameras on, the sun shining. You know what I'm saying? I tell you, it'd be right on cue. But what I really want to ask you is, is he a big enough star like Stoudemire to attract other stars to come after him to say, hey, you know what? I'll go team up with Russ. I got a great opportunity, especially the guys from the West that want their way out. You know what I mean? I look at Jonathan Mitchell, I still think that, you know, he may want to be out of there as well. Devin Booker may not. If, you know, CP3 goes there, that might be enough to keep him there. But is Russell Westbrook the type of star that other stars want to play with, or young stars that may look up to him?
Well, I mean, that's a legit question. I mean, I think OKC thought about that for a long time, too, before they made this much. I love Russell, but, I mean, I think it takes the right kind of fit, like a Bradley Beal. Somebody can play off the ball. Somebody's team is conducive that would allow Russ to dominate the ball the way Russ likes to dominate the ball.
Who hogs more, John Wall or Russell Westbrook? Damn.
Is it out of sight, out of mind? I'm not sure. I haven't seen John Wall for a while.
I mean, right? I've totally forgotten that he's going to even be in the league still, and he still had a bunch of money left on that contract as well. You know what, Jay, Bart brought up this one, so I also want to run this by you, too. And this one doesn't surprise me, but it's the other rumor that's out there. I think it's Brian Windhorst who has this, and that's the Suns and the Thunder now in active conversations about Chris Paul. What kind of fit is that for him? And is this really just about, that's close to L.A., and that's really the main thing for him, is getting as close to L.A. as possible, because that's where the family is, and so the move east wasn't really going to happen.
I mean, look, I would assume that a year going back and forth with your family, being in OKC, while you're going through a pandemic, while you're home in L.A., that has to be very sound, right? So, yes, I am trying to be as close to my family as possible. Would I love a scenario if it ended up being with Clippers? I think CP3 would enjoy that, considering that Doc is now with Philly. Ty Lue, head coach of the Clipper organization, and Steve Ballmer, there's new ownership instead of Donald Sterling. But if you can't pull off, that doesn't make sense economically, a trade value perspective for Sam Presti and company. If a viable option is to play with Devin Booker, and Alan, you know this about their facilities out there in Phoenix, man. They've revived people in their career, right? Like Grant Hill, I remember him raving about that organization from a medical perspective and a training perspective. Opened up a whole new facility. I think they got like, you know, 20 plus million for a new facility. So if that is by default ends up what happened, you're not mad about playing with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. Not where you would be, but I mean, Phoenix is not a bad place to live and to be.
Would you be trying to get a ring at this point if you were him? Like, where would you be mentally at the age he's at? And obviously he's had, you know, that's the biggest knock on him is he never can get to the mountaintop, even if, you know, even playing for a championship, it just doesn't happen for him. Would you be trying to chase that ring, or would you feel like quality of life is the one that matters? And, I, you know, if I'm not going to win one, I'm just not going to win one.
Me personally, I'm always going to chase after.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Bar and I were talking about this. Can you just imagine if it was able to be pulled off that CP3 ended up to be a Clipper again? You go back to the organization that you were dying to bring a championship to in the first place. People were destroying him about Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, his leadership, all these different things. And there's nothing better to be loved than seeing brothers fight. And that's what CP3 and LeBron James are. If there's a person that can understand from a nuanced perspective how to strategize or game plan for LeBron James, it would probably be CP3 along with Ty Lue. And then now you have a closer, you have an Alpha Mel that can help lead and take the pressure off of Kawhi and PG. Now, what do you have to give up for that? I'm not sure, but that would be one hell of a scenario to see both being in L.A.
Yeah. Are you excited by the start of the basketball season? And is this the one year where basketball is just going to take over the headlines? There's going to be so many transactions. You got the draft coming up. You got movement. And how active do you expect the like free agency to be? Or do you expect guys to kind of stay put?
So, Bart, I have a variety of feelings on this. Am I excited? Not really. I just had a month off, barely. I'm tired as hell. But I also
we're gonna get low management for you too, Jay Weezy.
I'm taking the Kawhi Leonard with ESPN this year. They better know what's coming.
Oh no!
But all I'm gonna say is you have the draft of 18th, you have free agency starting on the 20th, and then you have a month later. You're pretty much starting NBA season. So, look, with everything happening with the NFL, like this is a major opportunity once again for the NBA to be front and center. And you're gonna have a lot of movement. I mean, I'm stoked to see like LeBron James come back good, AD. What's going to happen with the Clippers? How's that new team going to look? What's going to happen with the Brooklyn Nets, the Kyrie and KD show are about to start? You know, are they going to trade to them with you? What's going to happen in East? Is Giannis going to end up getting somebody else? John Wall, Bradley Beal come back. There is Miami, they do it again outside of the bubble this time, which I thought the bubble was a little bit conducive for them to get the world championship. So, and what's going to happen with COVID, to be real with you? Now the NBA is facing a lot of things, mm-hmm. tough decisions that the NFL has had to make, and it's been challenging for them. Because, you know, in the NBA, one or two guys catch it, man. Those could be your star guys. The draft is different for your team.
Jay, I want to get into something that Bart and you guys talked about this morning on the show, but there is a little more NBA I did want to get into with you. And that just involves the movement that some are expecting. Like Zach Lowe thinks trade-wise, it's going to get crazy. Now, I know you know a lot of people. You talk to a lot of people. So you have an idea. And I know you got to protect some of your sources, so I'm not going to tell you, you know, predict stuff. But I do want you at least feed me because it's been a while, right? Like, do you, from what you know or what you understand, is Zach Lowe on point? Like, is this thing, once they say release the hounds, like, is this thing going to be crazy for a couple of days where it's just going to be wild movement and trades and everything? Or do you feel like there's not enough time to have that much movement and it's probably going to be quiet?
I think there's going to be a lot of scenarios posed. I think they're going to be a lot. Now, whether teams accept them or not, that's going to be different, where they feel like they get a return on their value. But there are going to be a lot of things that are going to be proposed to say, hey, do you want this? Who wants to bite? I'm not sure people are going to bite, Alan, but I know there's going to be a lot of proposals. A ton. And they're going to be intriguing prospects.
Can we get Oladipo out here to New York? I mean, like where does guys like Oladipo end up? And like, you know, I know we're talking about CP3, and if CP3 is still about that championship life, you know, in Houston, you know, or even if you think about Harden, or, you know, so many different moves that happen. You know, we were talking earlier about maybe Harden maybe wanting to go up to Milwaukee and play with Giannis because they have so many assets that they can give, you know, back, you know, to Houston.
It's there. I mean, Beal definitely wants to be out of Indiana. I would say this too. Do not sleep on Bradley Beal to move somewhere.
Yeah, that just feels like Brooklyn.
Is it because your sources say that he hates John Wall? You can tell. Let's be honest.
My sources can neither confirm nor deny that.
Oh, you're the worst. All right, so let's get to this part. So Bart is in for Keyshawn this morning on your show.
Bart, wait, are you coming back tomorrow?
I don't know, man. Is he out to did they do some blood plasma spinning for his ankle, or is he coming back? I don't know.
We found out it was an in-depth pinky toe injury, so he's out. He's on IR for at least a week.
Turf toe?
Tell him to put some tussin on him, man. Come on, man. That's not the same dude that I remember going to sleep with his butt up in the air with his nose bleeding after he going across the middle.
Hey, you know, phrasing!
That guy got up. This guy seems like he, at an old age, he's going to stay down there and take it.
Jay, let's be honest. We're NBA guys. We're basketball guys. Aren't football guys a little different? Like, they're a little different. Like, the stuff they talk about, the stuff they say, like, it's like, you guys are different.
My receivers are definitely different, I can tell you that.
I thought he was in the Luke video when he got knocked out on Monday Night Football with his butt up in the air like that, man. Like, tuck your butt in, man.
Okay. All right, so I don't even know where to transition for that other than to say, speaking of football, Bart.
I mean, Alan, it's been at the park.
Key's got his butt up in the air. Bart's been in a hotel for too long, I think, this week.
That's true.
There's no doubt about that.
I'm in the panic room, man. You, Jay Will, you know that little room they have here for the radio? That's where they put me, man. I'm in a closet.
You need a conjugal in the worst kind of way. You really do. You need a conjugal. Worst kind of way. So anyways, Bart is going in on Bill Belichick this morning. And, you know, we heard Bill Belichick kind of talking about his decision to leave the Jets as one of the greatest moments of his career and blah, 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 whatever. and then Bart's going after Bill about how basically he should just quit. He should just, you know, like, walk away. That this is his last year and he should move on. And we've talked about, like, you're leaving, like, basically a scorched earth now to Josh McDaniels. Like, okay, now that we're not going to be able to win for a while, let me step aside and let you take all these L's now while you try to rebuild. Like, what is your reaction? And I'll tell you what, Bart said, what did I say that's wrong? I don't know if what he said was wrong, but I can't see Belichick just walking away with the franchise in this condition unless he's never going to coach again.
Well, I let Bart talk about it for the first 2 hours of the show because I was curious to see how he kept building the narrative. And it became, you know how Bart's story tells, Alan? Becomes a more and more intriguing story by the second, right? So then we get to 8 o'clock hour, like our biggest hour, I'm like, Bart, the only problem I have with it is if you're Bill Belichick, the one thing I think Bart forgot about was just this dude has a massive ego. For anybody that's won as many Super Bowls as him, a massive ego. And the one thing I will say about people that have strong egos, it's hard for them just to walk away, even if optically it seems like they're quitting. Like, he's not a quitter. Like, he's a guy that likes to dig his fingers into the dirt and get into the trenches. So realistically, I know they don't have a lot of cap space coming up. Now, if they can make some moves, I would like to think that Bill Belichick would be the person to say, hey, look, we got this chip righted. We had a couple free agents that we were able to sign. Maybe I'll give you one more year, Josh, and this is yours. I'm gone. I want to get the chip going in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And then you take it, go where you want to go from there, and then I come to the Giants or I go anywhere else. But I can't imagine him leaving that team in the state of perpetual hell that they're in right now. When I see them celebrate the way they did after beating the Jets, I'm concerned about the Patriots, okay? I'm like, whoa, it's the Jets, guys.
But Jay, don't just slip the Giants thing in there.
I can't see anybody. I lost you, Alan. But Jay Weezy, here's the issue. Right? I know you say they don't have cap space. They're going to have more cap space next year than almost anybody in the NFL. So he's not going to leave them with scorched earth. And then if you want Josh McDaniels to be able, listen, they won 3 games. They're going to get trumped. They're going to get the brakes beat off of them to next week against the Ravens, right? So then they're going to be picking top 5. And now you're going to let Josh McDaniels, who won and went to a playoff game. With Tim Tebow, you're going to give him the opportunity to potentially get Trey Lance or Justin Fields or Zach Wilson or Mac Jones. You don't think that that's leaving the cupboard bare? That's going to give Josh McDaniels the opportunity to pick his quarterback and leave him with a bunch of cash, and he can ride off into New York, which is a much better place to live in New York than live out there in Boston. Anyway, we know that
stay
already.
Stay hands off and let Joe Judge run the team without being like the helicopter mom?
No, but he can just be the general manager, or he can be the president of operations.
The general manager you just said that should fire himself from the Patriots job. The guy who hasn't drafted a Pro Bowler in 5 years.
But I do believe that if he put 100% of his energy towards being a general manager, then he can be good at it because he would pay more attention. It's hard to be the head coach and a general manager. We saw that with Bill O'Brien. We saw that with the other people because you're too close to the situation. You're too invested because you're too close to the situation. But when you're the general manager, you're a little bit removed back from it. He's 68 years old, guys. How much longer do we expect him to be going through the grind? He's not Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll is a guy that's always happy and energetic. This dude is like Pleasantville. He's a lack of color.
You know this stuff is addictive. You know this is the kind of stuff that keeps people alive, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like somebody just going to a cushy GM perspective role, like that may not be the thing that gets his blood boiling. I can't see him firing himself.
But last I checked, the tuna's still alive. And he did the same damn thing, and that's his mentor. You either, like I said before, you either die the hero or you live, or you stay around long enough to see yourself become the villain. And he's starting to become the villain because you ran Tom out of town. You yelled at Tom. And now you're the guy that sent them out. You're like, you know what? Y'all want it? Y'all can have this. I'm out. I'm going to the Giants. I'm going to be on Broadway on my off days. Holler at me later.
Well, if that comes to fruition, that'd be a hell of a story out there.
Oh, my God, wouldn't it, though? Especially after the last year's story, which is Tom leaving. And then if Bill leaves, yeah, I'll tell you what, I'd feel really bad for my friends up in Boston. I'd feel so bad for them. I really would. It's a shame. Sad.
Jay, great
to talk to you,
my
man.
All right, man. I'm gonna call Russell and see if I can get one of them areola shirts.
I can't wait to have Jay on after the trade is done. We're gonna have so much fun with this because Jay called it from the very beginning. My man, good to talk to you. Take care.
All right, guys.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.